Today's text is from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" Today, we'll only look at verses 1 through 4 as an introduction to chapter 13. In this chapter, Jesus teaches about the events that will occur in the last days and the day of his second coming. The first four verses show the beginning of Jesus' teaching about the last days. After teaching at the temple, Jesus was leaving when one of his disciples looked at the temple and said this to him. We see that this disciple pointed to the temple and admired its beauty and grandeur. He expected Jesus to agree with him, as the temple was a source of pride for all Jews. The disciples had a mindset that viewed the temple as an idol that would protect and bless them. However, Jesus saw things differently and did not share their view. According to the Old Testament, the temple built by human hands was a type and shadow of the eternal true temple that would come in the future. When the true temple comes, the old temple has to pass away. Despite its grandeur and magnificence, the temple during the time of Jesus was a place filled with sin and impurity, akin to a den of robbers. Such defilement prevented the glory of God from residing within its walls. Despite this, the Jews were proud of it and believed that it would bring them blessings. They would come to this temple, offer sacrifices, and worship God, all the while engaging in hypocritical idolatry that was sure to anger and offend God. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus became angry when he saw the sins and corruption taking place in the temple. He drove out those who were buying and selling, overturned the tables of the money changers, and the chairs of those selling doves. Jesus cleansed the temple and said that the old temple must be destroyed and a new one must be built to replace it. In John chapter 2, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He was referring to his own body, which was the true temple. This means that the true temple has finally come, and Jesus is the new temple that the old temple had pointed to. God came in the flesh to become the true temple to dwell among his people. Therefore, since the most wonderful, glorious, and splendid temple has come, the era of the old temple must pass away. Despite being the true temple, no one recognized the glory, greatness, and the beauty of Jesus. Even his disciples failed to see it. Instead, they admire the buildings and stones of the old temple. It's ironic, isn't it? However, the time has come for the old to pass away as the new has arrived. The old temple and its types and shadows are now obsolete as the actual has come. We must shift our focus from old temple and instead gaze upon the eternal, glorious, true temple with awe. God has become the new temple in the flesh, dwelling among us forever. Jesus has come. We must now shift our focus to Jesus, the true temple. We should be in awe of his glory, greatness, and beauty, and offer him our praise. Having such a magnificent new temple, a wonderful cornerstone, and an amazing Christ is truly wonderful. But there is something else we should view in the same way. On Jesus, who is the true temple and the cornerstone, God has established us, the saints he has saved, as the new temple. He has cleansed us with the blood of Jesus and clothed us with his righteousness, making us the living stones of the new temple. By building us on Jesus, he has made us eternal temple of heaven, where the glory of God dwells forever. By becoming one with Jesus, he has made us the true and the new heavenly temple. So now, by faith, we must now look at ourselves, our fellow believers, and our church. So we behold the glory and beauty of this new temple. We must offer our praise to God with hearts full of joy. How wonderful are the saints who are united in Christ! How beautiful are the living stones! And what a magnificent heavenly temple we have become. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Built on the foundation of these apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are the true temple of heaven. The sinners of this world who live only by what they see with their eyes can never comprehend this blessed and wonderful reality of Jesus and his people. But the saints who live by faith can see this blessed and wonderful reality by faith. We should be amazed by the glory and beauty of the new temple. Now we live in thanksgiving and praise God who saved us and the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. We should no longer see Jesus, ourselves, our brothers and sisters, and even the church as merely a worldly and physical reality. This is because the old has gone and the new has come into our lives. Instead of focusing on the old things that will soon disappear, we should look at ourselves with faith in the eternal new things that Jesus has achieved. We are the reality of the new temple, and we are the reality of the eternal heaven. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, "From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." In today's text, Jesus' disciples could not see the glory of Jesus and the new temple by faith. Instead, they focused on the old things and the glory of the old temple. Jesus reminds them that if they continue to look at everything in this world's physical and visible reality, they are only living by what they see and not by faith. This is similar to how the sinners of this world live. Therefore, it's crucial to see the blessed reality in Jesus and the glory of heaven in him as the new temple. Mark chapter 13, verse 2 says, "And Jesus said to him, 'Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down.'" Jesus pronounced that the temple that people take pride in will be destroyed. This means the old things are passing away and the old temple will be destroyed. Furthermore, all the old things of this world will eventually pass away and the true things of heaven will take their place. With the coming of Jesus, the old has gone and the new has come. This means that the world has passed away and heaven has begun. In our lives, the old self of this world has passed away, and the new self of heaven has begun. Eventually, when Jesus returns, this world will disappear, and only eternal heaven will remain. On that day, all those who belong to this world will be destroyed along with it, and only those who belong to heaven will live with Jesus for eternity. Jesus teaches about this throughout chapter 13. Therefore, the saints must turn their eyes away from this world's physical and worldly reality and live by faith, looking at our true reality in Jesus and heaven. This is where the lives of worldly sinners and believers are distinguished. We cannot just live by looking at the world as if this visible world is everything, because it continues to fall into destruction. However, heaven has already begun in our lives, and the day of Jesus' return and the day of reaching heaven's glory is getting closer. Our old self in this world has already died with Jesus, and we have risen to life with Jesus as new people in heaven when he died and resurrected. Even now, we are dying in our old self and growing more and more in our new self that resembles Jesus. And on the day Jesus comes again, only the new self, with no longer the reality of the old self remaining, will reach the complete glory of Jesus. Our Christian life is about having faith in what we cannot see and bearing witness to it. Jesus is warning us that the temple building, which we take pride in and consider to be magnificent, will all be destroyed, with not one stone left upon another. This also applies to all the worldly things that we value the most, such as wealth, beauty, and possessions. Eventually, they will all be destroyed and hold no meaning or purpose. Therefore, it is foolish to base our life's purpose on things that will not last. Jesus has come to bring us something better and eternal, the heavenly things that will never be destroyed. He urges us to focus on these things. However, the disciples were still focused on the earthly things. Even though Jesus was right in front of them, they were only admiring the old temple, which was about to be destroyed. As believers in Jesus Christ, we know that Jesus saves his people through his death on the cross and resurrection. By delivering us from this sinful world, he gives us eternal life, inheritance, and blessings of heaven. In response, we must live with thanksgiving and praise, always looking to God, who gave us Jesus without sparing him. This new understanding of our purpose and meaning in life will keep us grounded. A life that regards this world as great and wonderful will all fall apart. But a life that regards Jesus as great and wonderful will not collapse. We will not perish with this world because we belong to Jesus and his heavenly kingdom. Even if our life seems insignificant in the world and no one recognizes it, it is the life God considers most precious, blessed and wonderful. He called us to be living stones and built us on Jesus, the true cornerstone, to become the heavenly temple. God dwells in us forever. These stones and this temple will never fall. Even if everything falls apart, you and I are living stones that the true temple will not be destroyed. God has also called us to live in that temple as heavenly priests who worship God for eternity. This is the new purpose and meaning of our lives. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says this, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." This church, where we believers are now gathered, is the most blessed and beautiful place in the eyes of God where heavenly worship takes place. Every one of us is precious and wonderful in the eyes of God. As we gather here, we can declare joyfully that we are the temple of God. We must give thanks and praise to him for this privilege. We should look at ourselves and our brothers and sisters in the same way. Last Lord's Day, We reflected on the poor widow's offering. As we continue to build a church, we should remember that it is not built with worldly riches, but with wonderful living stones that are the children of God. Let us continue to honor and worship God in spirit and in truth, for He is the builder of His house and temple. Even though we may seem insignificant in the world, the saints who believe in Jesus are the most precious living stones of God's house. This is why the church is built firmly on Jesus Christ, the Word, and His followers. It's important to realize that every one of us is blessed and wonderful to God. Jesus emphasized this in verse 3. Mark chapter 13, verse 3. And as He sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked Him privately. In this scene, Jesus takes His disciples to the Mount of Olives and sits opposite the Jerusalem temple on Mount Zion. The two mountains and the two realities they represent contrast. On one hand, there is the old temple on Mount Zion. On the other hand, there is Jesus on Mount Olive facing the temple. This contrast highlights the difference between the old and new temples and emphasizes that there is a temple on earth and another in heaven. Once again, we return to the initial question. Which temple is more glorious and wonderful? Which temple is the true temple that will remain standing? Which temple should you focus on? And to which temple do the followers of Jesus belong? Many people are fixated on the old temple in Jerusalem, despite having become a den of thieves. However, Jesus, who is the true temple, has a small group of disciples whom Jesus has built into a temple, even though the disciples do not fully comprehend Jesus' greater and more magnificent glory. The disciples, together with Jesus, are revealing the glory of the temple of heaven. This is our present reality. Although we are still prone to sin and are unable to perceive our true reality fully, Jesus has saved us and made us into the temple of heaven through Him. He is always with us and dwells among us, never leaving or forsaking us. Despite our sinful nature, we can reveal the glory of the great and wonderful temple of heaven before God through His grace. Especially in this place where we gather together and worship with one faith, the beautiful glory of the heavenly temple is revealed. Are you not grateful for this? Later, Peter, James, John, and Andrew approached Jesus privately and asked, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" The same incident as today's text also appears in Matthew 24, where it says, "Jesus left the temple and was going away when His disciples came to point out to Him the buildings of the temple. But He answered them, 'You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down.' As He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" In the Gospel of Mark, the disciples asked Jesus about the sign of the temple's destruction. However, in the Gospel of Matthew, they further ask about the sign of the Lord's coming and the end of the world. This shows that they understood the temple's destruction as an event that would occur at the end of the world. Jesus tells them that the last days have come and that the old temple's destruction will mark the beginning of the new temple's construction. This will happen soon after Jesus' death and resurrection as the new heavenly temple. The last days will begin and the church age will start. We are currently living in this era. Jesus then tells the disciples about the signs that will occur in the last days until his second coming in Mark chapter 13, verses 5 through 37. We will look at this in detail next Lord's Day.